thank you for listening to this sermon from Goodwill Church, located in New York's Hudson Valley. Goodwill Church is on a mission to be a hub of revival in the Northeast and beyond. For more information about our church, please visit goodwillchurch.org. Now, here's the sermon.
Well, we're going to continue with our sermon series, our year in the Psalms. Today, we are going to be looking at Psalm 23. Psalm 23. So if you have your Bibles with you, let me encourage you to open them up. And if you're able to stand, let's rise for the reading of God's Word. Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Thank you, Father, for these precious words. Lord, as we draw our attention to your word today, Holy Spirit, we ask that you open up our hearts, our minds, our ears. Help us to see you today, Jesus Christ. Thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, please be seated. So I don't know about you, but life these days seems to be very chaotic. There's uncertainty everywhere. Like, I don't know if I can even buy anything because I don't know if the price is going to go up or down. It really depends on the mood of one person. And life seems very overwhelming these days, doesn't it? Some of us are experiencing grief. Some of us feel lonely. We feel abandoned. Some of us are dealing with fear, burnout. And if that's you, today's text, it teaches us that you're not alone in this world, that somebody is with you, and you are not without care. So in a world that demands self-reliance, God is inviting you to rest in him, to trust him, and to lean in on him, and to lean on each other. And that's what Psalm 23 is about. If you had to describe, or if you had to use a metaphor to describe your relationship with God, what would it be? In Scripture, God is described as a bridegroom, a husband, a judge, a king, a man of war, builder and maker, physician, a father, but also, today we saw, a shepherd. A shepherd. Jesus is called a shepherd a few times in the Bible. Here are two that I'm going to give you right now. One is the great shepherd. In Hebrews 13:20, it says, "Now may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep." So Jesus Christ is described as that great shepherd. Also in 1 Peter, Peter talks about the chief shepherd. So Jesus is described as the chief shepherd, the great shepherd, and also the good shepherd. So if God is our great shepherd, if he is our chief shepherd, if he is our good shepherd, well, what does that make us? Well, we are sheep. Isaiah 53:6 says, "We all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all." So we're sheep. So God is our shepherd, and we are sheep. Sheep cannot survive without a shepherd. So we all need a shepherd. And today's psalm is a beautiful song. Probably most of us are familiar with it, a psalm that's read at funerals, a psalm that's read in hospitals. I may have read this psalm many times when I visited you when you're in the hospital. It's a psalm of comfort. Spurgeon calls it the pearl of the psalms. James Montgomery Boyce said it's the most beloved psalm, Psalm 23. And also J.P. Macbeth said, the 23rd Psalm is the greatest poem ever written. So let's dig deep today, looking at Psalm 23. Of course, it begins with a Psalm of David. David was a shepherd, so no wonder he uses the metaphor of a shepherd to describe God. So let's look at verse 1. Verse 1, it says, "The Lord is my shepherd." He doesn't say the Lord is our shepherd. He doesn't say the Lord is Israel's shepherd. But David says, "The Lord is my shepherd." He is my shepherd. So just here, he's saying that he is there's a personal relationship between him and his shepherd. It's intimate. It's intimate. And that's interesting because what David is proclaiming here, declaring here, is that God is his shepherd. He is the one who oversees David. I wonder if we could say that about God here. Is he your shepherd or is he a shepherd? Is God your shepherd or is he your shepherd? What does it mean when we hear that God is my shepherd? Well, earlier I said he was the great shepherd and he was the chief shepherd, but in John 10:11 it says, "I am the good shepherd." And the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. So for you to say, for me to say, for David to say, "The Lord is my shepherd," that means that we are following the good shepherd who laid down his life for us. What's interesting about Psalm 23 is it follows Psalm 22, and Psalm 22 is a psalm where even Christ cried out this psalm when he died on the cross, right? My God, why have you forsaken me?" So Psalm 22 and Psalm 23 are meant to be right next to each other, because without Psalm 22, there is no good shepherd. Jesus Christ died so that you and I could call Jesus Christ our good shepherd. He lived the perfect life and he died the death that we deserve. He laid down his life for us, and that's why he is the good shepherd. So for you to say that God is my shepherd means that you believe in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Amen? Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. So is he your shepherd? It's funny because even when we talk to non-believers, we ask the question, "Do you know Jesus? Is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior?" You know, that's a question that we ask when we want to know about someone's belief, right? There's nothing wrong with that. But I don't hear a lot of people actually say that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. Is he yours? Isn't that interesting? Some of us, we're conditioned to ask that question, is Jesus your Lord and Savior? But we haven't even sorted out our relationship with the Good Shepherd. So can you say that Jesus Christ is your shepherd? Is God your shepherd? To say that means that you acknowledge him as your Lord and Savior. Is Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior? And if he is your Lord and Savior, then I want to encourage you, just as David begins the psalm by declaring, "The Lord is my shepherd," we should be able to say that the Lord is my shepherd. Amen? So is he your shepherd? Before you ask others about Jesus, can you boldly proclaim that Jesus is your shepherd? Do you have a personal relationship with him? Do you have an intimate relationship with him? Because if he is your shepherd, then you would hear his voice. You would follow him. You have a daily relationship with him, not just on Sundays. How do you have a relationship with God? I sound like a broken record, but it is through the word and prayer. So we need to read God's word. And we need to pray. Amen? If you walk around saying that the Lord is my shepherd and you don't spend any time with him, then he is not your shepherd. So let's start there. Can we say that God is my shepherd? Is Jesus your shepherd? In John 10:27, Jesus says this, "My sheep listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." So to declare Jesus as your shepherd means that you hear his voice, you obey him, and you follow him. I pray that Jesus is your shepherd. I pray that Jesus is our shepherd here at Goodwill Church. Amen? So. And then he says, "I lack nothing." Some translations would say, "I have all that I need," or "I don't need a thing." And of course, in the King James, it is, "I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." So what does that really mean? That means we have all that we need, right? I lack nothing because he is my shepherd. I think a lot of us actually have a harder time with I lack nothing piece. We live like we lack everything. We're just not satisfied. The house is not big enough. I'm not making enough money. Our church building is not big enough. And we're always comparing ourselves with others. But clearly, Scripture is teaching us here that if God is our shepherd, if God is my shepherd, and I hear his voice, and I follow him, and I obey him, and I trust him with my life, that means I lack nothing. Do you lack nothing? Can we say that we lack nothing? What drives you to work hard? Why do we work so hard? We work hard because we feel like we do lack something. As he says, what we have is just not enough. Or sometimes we misunderstand this text and we think lacking nothing means we have no problems. We are able to live a trouble-free life. But that's not what it means here. To lack nothing means we have everything we need according to the Good Shepherd, according to the Great Shepherd, according to the Chief Shepherd. We have everything we need, not everything we want. For us to say that we lack nothing means we trust God 100%. We trust God with our own lives. That's what it means to say when you say you lack nothing. So do you lack nothing? Does your life indicate that you lack nothing, that you trust God completely? Life would be a lot easier, wouldn't it, if we live out this way. Like, God's got this. I don't need to worry about it. I'm learning more and more that I can't control anything in this life. And I'm a control freak. But God's in control. And that should be okay. I can't even control the person in front of me. The light is green. Why aren't you going? Just want to honk my horn. That's when my wife is the voice of reason. You can't control anything. Why are you stressing out? That's a reminder for me that I haven't surrendered everything to God yet. Like I need to be in control. I want to control everything, the temperature in this room. Right now it's kind of warm in here. I want to control the temperature. I want to control the sound level. I just want to control everything. But I need to remind myself, the Lord is my shepherd, and I lack nothing. I trust in God with everything. He's going to meet my needs. Right? The Apostle Paul said in Philippians 4:19, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. So can you say that you lack nothing? Another way to ask that is God your shepherd? Is he your shepherd? I pray that he is. And then he continues, he makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. Look at who's the subject. It's he, God. God is the one who's doing everything. He makes me lie down. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. James Montgomery Boyce said this, that the sheep doesn't lie down unless they feel utterly safe, secure, and satisfied. When I first read this text, I misunderstood it. I read it as he forces me to lie down. Like he puts all this pressure on me, kind of like when you're training a dog how to sit, you know, like you press down. Like he makes me lie down. He forces me to lie down in green pastures. But no, that's not what it really means. For a sheep to lie down, it means God has taken care of everything so that you feel safe, so that you feel secure, so that you're satisfied, your belly is full. You don't have to worry about, am I going to eat? What am I going to eat? You don't have to worry about anything. And only when a sheep feels this way, a sheep would lie down. So that's what our God does. You trust him, and he will provide comfort, security. He will provide for all your needs. So now that has a different meaning to me. He makes me lie down in green pastures. I also love green pastures, right? Look at that lush green pasture. Actually, if you're at a green pasture like this, you don't really have to work hard at all, right? Just, everywhere you look, there's something to eat. But in Israel, this is what green pasture looks like. Right? We're used to this. And this is what we want, right? God, just set me up. I trust you. I follow you. You are my shepherd. Let me live in a palace like this, where everywhere I look, it's green. There's food everywhere. But what God wants is he wants a daily, ongoing relationship. And when you read green pastures in the Bible and the Old Testament, don't picture a scene like this, but picture a scene like this, where if you look hard enough, you do see green. There's green. And so the shepherd's role is to make sure that the sheep has enough green for today, that you have enough green for the next even 10 minutes, and that you're satisfied. It's not the sheep's role to think, where am I going to get? Where's our next destination? The sheep's role is to just follow, and God will provide. The shepherd will provide. And if you look at your faith and your own journey, isn't that how God works in our own lives? He never just gives you, here's everything you need all at once. But he wants us to rely on him for his daily provisions. That's been my experience. In ministry, he always gives you just enough. My wife and I were talking about this one day. Why can't just God give us everything that we need now, so we don't have to worry about where our funds going to come from, so that we can just focus on ministry, so we can just do what God wants us to do? Why can't just God provide us a big building right now, so we don't have to worry about anything here, so we can just focus on reaching out? But that's not how God works. For God to be the good shepherd means he provides enough for now. And isn't that the truth here? He has provided enough for now. Just look around. He's provided enough for now. And I'm so grateful for that. Did you know this past Monday was my one-year anniversary of being installed here at Good Old Beacon? And I look back the 1 year, and God just showed up and he provided just enough each day. Just enough each day. And so as we walk with God, as we hear his voice, as we follow him, he is reminding us, you have what you need. Don't worry about tomorrow. You have what you need today. Amen? Amen. And what's true for us as a church is also true for us in our own personal lives. You have enough. Don't compare with somebody else. You have enough. Hear my voice. Trust in me is what God is saying. Trust in me. I am the good shepherd. Do you believe that he's your good shepherd? Because if he's good, he's going to take care of you. It may not be the way you want him to take care of you, but it's what's best for you. Amen? It's what's best for him. He's our good shepherd. Just enough. And the just enough may be just enough for the next 10 minutes. Be satisfied with that, because he'll lead you to the next destination. Just enough. But that just enough is in an abundance. And that's what I love about this text. And we could only be satisfied if we trust him fully. So let's trust in our God. He also makes us lie down in green pastures. He leads us, it says, it leads me beside quiet waters. So he leads. He doesn't drive. He doesn't force, but he leads. Not by gushing water, but quiet waters. Why is that? because sheep can't drink from running water. It needs to be quiet waters. So from a sheep's perspective, if you're able to lie down in green pastures and you are beside quiet waters, that means you're covered. You have everything that you need as a sheep. There really should be nothing to complain about because you're satisfied, you're protected, you're secure. You don't have to worry about being attacked by anything. You just have to be. And that's what God is inviting us to be, is to be His child, to trust in Him, to trust in the Good Shepherd. So He leads us. It also says here that He refreshes my soul. He refreshes my soul, or restores my soul. The literal translation is, He revives me. So are you feeling beaten? Are you feeling like you've given everything that you have, you got nothing left? Who do you go to? Go to the shepherd. Go to the good shepherd. Go to God, and He'll revive you. He'll refresh you. He will restore you. He restores your soul. Your whole being is what He restores. The root word for soul is actually throat. So imagine you're out in the desert, and you hear the words, He refreshes my throat, my soul. He gives you what you need. That's who our God is. And not only does He lead, not only does He refresh and restore and renew, it says here that He guides. He guides me along the right paths for His name's sake. What does that mean? He guides me along the right paths. Well, here's another desert illustration. So this is a path that a shepherd will take. See the lines in the desert? Those are paths that a shepherd would take their sheep. And these paths has been there for thousands of years. So the shepherds, they know where to go, and they take their sheep. It's hard to see in this picture, but this is a photo of green pastures. But along the path, to the left and to the right, there's food. There's food for the sheep to eat. And that's what it means to be on this narrow path. You're on this narrow path, and you'll have food to eat. The right path. It's not just to be morally right, but it's on a good path. It's on a wise path. It's what's best, what's good for us, and what's best for us. Another thing to remember is that He guides us not because of our performance, but it's based on His name's sake. It's based on His character. It's based on His own reputation. So our God, the good God, our good shepherd, the chief great God, great shepherd, it's based on Him that He puts us on the right path. And that should give us comfort in knowing that it's not about you, it's not about your ability. But the problem is, we try to do this on our own. Well, let me just not say we. I try to do this on my own. I'm trying so hard to be on the right path. But if I'm not following God, I am not on the right path. No matter how hard I try, I cannot find this on my own. You can't do it on your own. And that's what today's text is reminding us. It's not about you, it's about Him. It's not about your character, it's about His character. It's not about your reputation, it's about His reputation. It's not about your name, it's about His name. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. How do we find this? It's through the Good Shepherd. It's through Jesus' leading. You can only get there by following his voice. So do you hear his voice? Are you hearing his voice? Are you hearing his voice? Do you have a personal relationship with the Good Shepherd? Is he your shepherd? We also find it by resting in his provision. Like, what he gives us is enough. Can you say, my God shall supply all my needs? Can you rest in that? Or is that not enough? You need to supplement what God gives you with your own effort. When you do that, that means you're saying you don't trust in God. That means he is not your shepherd. And we need to trust and obey him. Amen? Amen. So what does this all mean? This all means for us to survive, God needs to be your shepherd. Let's say this together. The Lord is my shepherd. All together. Out loud. The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. The Lord is my shepherd. I lack nothing. You lack nothing if God is your shepherd. The good shepherd who restores you. The good shepherd who leads you. The good shepherd who satisfies you. The good shepherd who guides you. The good shepherd who saves you. The one who raised us from death to life. Let us obey him. Father in heaven, we thank you for being the good shepherd. Lord, I pray that everyone here within the sound of my voice can boldly proclaim that you are my shepherd. And I lack nothing. May we live victorious lives through you. May we trust and may we rest in your provision. Thank you for raising us from death to life, Jesus Christ. Thank you for being the good shepherd. Thank you for laying your life laying it down so that we could live. Thank you for restoring our souls. Thank you for leading us and guiding us. Thank you. We worship you, Almighty God. In your name we pray. And all God's children said, amen. Let's all rise and let's worship our God.
Thank you again for listening to today's sermon. For more resources and information about Goodwill Church, visit goodwillchurch.org. God bless.